You're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Centre. For more information, visit www.lmc.org.au.
Well, my name's Josh. For those who don't know me, most of you probably would have seen me around because I've been here forever. Faithfully here forever. That's what. It's good. Good. Yes, my name's Josh. I'm doing a Bachelor of Phys Ed, third year. So one more year and then I'm done, which is fantastic. I've been serving in youth for 4 or 5 years, I think now, which is great. And I love it. Absolutely love it. It's fantastic. All right. So tonight, Nick obviously asked me to speak about the faithfulness and goodness of God. And when I was thinking about what I could actually focus on in that, I couldn't get the picture out of my head of the picture or the like that God creates between Christ as a broom, Christ is the groom and the church is the bride. Yep. Yeah, it's contagious. It's good. Christ is the groom and the church is the bride. I just couldn't get it out of my head. So often we focus on, you know, how can I be faithful to God? But we often forget, hey, actually God is faithful to us as well. So Isaiah 54:5, it says, "For your maker is your husband, the Lord Almighty is his name. The Holy One of Israel is your Redeemer. He is called the God of all the earth." When people get married or start a relationship, they sometimes call the other person in that relationship the better half, or hopefully they do. You might look at me up here, a young guy, who's not married, and you might say, what is he doing up there talking about marriage? And that's a good question, because I don't know either. But I'm hoping that God fills the gaps that I don't know, because there's a lot of them. If you speak to any girl that knows me, you'll know that I'm definitely not a professional on how to talk to women or how to be around women. I've learned that toilet humor is probably not acceptable or not as funny around women. Growing up in a household of three boys, that's all we do. So like in every relationship, the faithfulness has to go both ways. In every successful relationship, the husband has to be faithful to his wife and the wife has to be faithful to the husband. I want to look a bit into 1 Peter 3:7 from the perspective, as I said, of Christ as the groom and we the church as the bride. It says, "Husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives and treat them with respect as the weaker partner and as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life, so that nothing will hinder your prayers." Husbands, be considerate, treat them with respect, and as heirs with you to the gracious gift of God, of life. That's what God calls husbands to do. How is God considerate and respectful to us? What does he do to be considerate and respectful? I looked up in the dictionary. Well, I looked up on Google's dictionary, these terms. And it said to be considerate is to show concern for the rights and feelings of others. To be respectful is to feeling or showing indifference. And respect. It's pretty cool that we have a God so powerful and mighty who considers us and he actually respects us. I think that's something we often miss. Why does it always seem easier for us to remember a negative experience than a positive experience? Well, most of the time it's pretty easy to remember one little negative thing than a positive thing. If you have a bad date or someone lies to you, or if someone doesn't do what you want them to do, it's really easy to let that leave a stain on your life. I've had plenty of times where I might say, I've never liked that person. It's because of one thing that they might have done, you know, which is probably not a good thing for me to do, but it just, there's something just about them that I just can't get in my head because of that. I think it's similar to how we are with God sometimes. One bad experience with another Christian, one message, one line in that message can just completely throw a whole sermon off for anyone. One experience in life where we don't get what we thought we wanted to get, and there's a little stain left and it proves pretty hard to remove. What does that stain cause? It causes doubt, a worry. It makes us think that God actually is not faithful to us. It can be hard to trust God's plan because we don't see it from his perspective. I was trying to think of a picture that I could try and create for you that might demonstrate this, and I thought about a maze. So our perspective, I guess, is when you're inside the maze and you don't get the full picture. I remember when I was younger, I went to a birthday party down at the mini golf down the road, and they used to have a maze there, and so we were all running around going crazy. And somehow I got separated from my friends. and that was bad. I was younger, so I'm not like, you know, 15 and sitting in the corner crying, but that's what I did. I sat there until someone came and found me. I was pretty intimidated because it just seemed like there was no way out for me. Instead of this, God actually sees, I believe, a maze from a bird's eye view. So he gets the full picture. He sees where we've been, where we are, and where we're going to go. He knows the way out of the maze or the way for life for us. Suddenly, all those dead ends and walls actually really aren't that intimidating when you realize you're with someone. When the, I can't remember who it was, but a parent came in and actually found me sitting there crying. He helped me out, and it was not intimidating for me because I thought, well, he's found me, he knows the way out, so I'll be okay. There's no need to worry about it. Just because it feels like we might be led into a dead end or put in a position we don't think we can handle doesn't mean that God has stopped guiding us. Isaiah 58 verse 11 says, "And the Lord will continually guide you and satisfy your desire in the scorched places. He will give strength to your bones, and he will be like a water garden and like a spring of water whose waters do not fail." Sorry, "and you will be like a water garden and like a spring of water whose waters do not fail." While it may seem like we have been deserted, God never leaves us. He guides us continually. He's faithful in leading us through life. Deuteronomy 31:6 says, "Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified because of them. For the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you." I looked up forsake as well on good old Google, and it means basically to abandon or desert someone. So pretty extreme. This was said by Moses, this verse, on behalf of God to the Israelites, and he realized that even in a desert, in one of the most isolated and barren places on earth, that God was actually still with them. That through the hard times in their own disbelief, through everything that the Israelites had done to go against God, to try and do things out of their own will, God still remained faithful to them, and he led them out of captivity into Canaan, although it took a bit longer than they hoped. Not only does God never leave us, but he is faithful in how he provides us with our needs. Paul writes a passage to the Philippian church about God's provision in Philippians 4:18-19. It says, "I've received full payment and have more than enough. I'm amply supplied now that I've received from Epaphroditus, the gifts you sent. They are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice pleasing to God. And my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus." Now, this was after the Philippian church sent an aid to him. I couldn't find whether it was money or some sort of food or something. But they had provided something to Paul to help him while he was in jail. And so this was basically a letter writing back to them saying, you know, well, thanks for that. And obviously he said some other things in there. But Paul realized that in this situation, you know, again, Moses was in the desert, Paul was in the jail, two isolated, barren places, that good or bad, God will provide what we really need. He said earlier in that chapter that, "I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through him who gives me strength." Paul walked on both sides of life, both extremes, when you really look at it. I mean, when he was Saul, he did some pretty bad things. I was trying to think of something that we could relate it to these days. He was persecuting Christians. He was going out to kill them, and that's what the people of ISIS are doing right now. And that's pretty extreme. Like, we look at it now and we think, how could they do that? How could anyone do that? And this is what Saul was doing. And then to see that change that happened in his life to become a follower of God, that's crazy. That's crazy. I don't think many of us could imagine God turning someone from ISIS now, although we don't know them, someone from that band to be a follower of God, to be such a prolific man of God. It's ridiculous, but it's awesome. Very extreme. He was a man that needed God to do something pretty incredible in his life. Throughout Paul's life, he was met with challenges, but God fulfilled the needs he had, not the needs or wants that he thought he had, the needs that would lead to a fulfilling life. So I've spoken a little bit about how God is faithful to us through leading us through a position, through his provision. What about us? What can we do? As the wife of the groom, what can we do? The Bible puts it pretty simply in Ephesians 5:22-24. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as you do to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body of which he is the Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. In everything. Not just the areas that we think we should submit, not just the areas that we think are easy to submit because they're not as challenging or not as big, but in everything. Like Moses submitting to God's guidance, like the Philippian church submitting to God's call on them to provide an aid to Paul. God wants us to submit ourselves to him. Yep. John 10:10 says, I have come so that you may have life and have it abundantly. God wants us to have an abundant life, a full life. And this is why he does provide for us. This is why he does lead us. Sometimes it really helps to look back on your lives. And some people say, you know, you shouldn't look back on your life. You should just look forward. And while I understand what they're saying, I politely disagree. And I think that in order for us to see how we've grown, we have to look back. We have to look back. Otherwise, we compare ourselves to the person next to you. I might say, well, Chris is just way more down the line because, you know, he's there and I'm here. But if I look back on my life and say, you know what, that was the person I was, but look at the person God's created me or turned me into. Look at the person he's molded me into. Then I can be thankful for it. We're going to have hear some testimonies from Alan and Sally in a second. But I really encourage you to, as they speak, think about the times in your own lives where God's been faithful. Nick was talking to me about all this on Friday night, and she said something that I'd been thinking, which was really cool, that last Friday we had, obviously, the miracles night where people gave testimonies of the miracles that God had created in their own lives. And Nick said, and I felt the same way, that I sort of rocked up to church thinking, oh, man, I haven't had any miracles, you know. I haven't died and come back to life, or, you know, I haven't... someone's leg hadn't fallen off, hadn't healed or something ridiculous like that. But as I heard people speak, and Nick, like I said, Nick said the same thing, as we heard people speak, this thing started popping in our heads saying, oh, well, what about that time when God did that in your life and you did that? And, you know, it's really good. It's really good to do that. So as they speak, as they share their testimonies, I encourage you to think about their own times and not just think about them, but actually thank God for them, because that's what we need to do. Thanks.
Hey everyone. So tonight I'd just like to talk to you about two times in my life when I've experienced God's faithfulness. And one of those times was how I got into my nursing course. I finished year 12 pretty disappointed with an ATAR that I was pretty upset with. And I remember feeling like I was never going to achieve anything in life and that I wouldn't end up getting into my dream career, which was nursing. I had decided to take a gap year in 2013 and tried so hard to think of a different career path, but God really did have other plans. At the start of January last year, I heard of a course beginning at ACU in February. There was an enrolment test which I had to attend to be accepted. I didn't have much confidence in myself, but I thought, I'll just go along and see how I go. On the way, I had a car accident in the city as I was almost there. And as it was my first, I just honestly just wanted to get home. I didn't want to go to any tests. But something told me, no, go to that test. So I continued on with my smashed up car and I sat the test as best as I could. And I came back home and about a week later, I got an email saying I had been accepted into begin the Diploma of Nursing next month. And I remember reading the email over and over again because I just could not believe I had got in. And from that moment, I knew that this was where God really wanted me to be. And I do believe that car accident was the enemy trying to stop God's plan from happening, but God is bigger than anything the enemy may try. I completed my first class on Friday, my final class on Friday, and I'm one placement off becoming an enrolled nurse. And I look back over the last 2 years of the course and I see how God was faithful in pushing me to continue on. And the assignments and exams got really difficult at times, and I had moments where I just really wanted to give it all up because it was too hard. But God whispered in my ear to keep going because you are exactly where I want you to be. A gap year was not in God's plans for me. God had taught me it would have been a mistake to have a year off sitting at home, getting 11 hours a week at Woolworths where I work, and it would have been a mistake, God taught me. And God has never let me down in his faithfulness to me throughout my whole course, and he has proved to me that nursing is what he wants me to do. And God being faithful to me has made me want to always be faithful to him because I know how much I need him. Another time God has been faithful to me was through my dad's death. Through all the heartache that I felt and that I still feel today, I always find God in my darkest moments, and he was and he is still always there, right there to listen to my prayers. And I prayed every day without fail that my dad would be healed, and I know so many others did too, but at the end of the day, I know that wasn't God's plan to heal him on earth, and it was God's plan to take him now, and why, I have no idea, but I don't even want to go down that road because I know I don't see the bigger picture that God does. And I can't tell you how much I trust God with that, because I know we live by faith and not by sight. And that has definitely taken me courage to understand that. But God has done so much in my life from this. And even though it's so tragic for me and my families, and there's times I think, I can't believe my daddy's gone, I know that he'll never leave us nor forsake us, and he will always be faithful to his children. 1 Corinthians talks about how God wants us to trust in the power of God rather than rely on human wisdom, because that is exactly what will set us free. Thanks.
Hi, everyone. I'm Sally. I'm not a very good public speaker. I used to be, but I've become timid in my old age. So tonight I'm going to talk about what it means to be faithful to God. When I look back on my life, I can see the way God has intricately planned everything so that I would know him. I come from a non-Christian family. It's a great family, but they aren't Christians. So God had to find some other way for me to find him and know him. And he did this by sending me to Oxley. I know that God instigated me going to Oxley, and that God was planting seeds in my parents' hearts and opening the doors for me to go to school there. God used Oxley as a vessel to teach me about himself. He planted seeds in me and slowly watered them when I was young throughout primary school. This meant that when I was 15 or so and I decided to actually follow Jesus with my whole heart, the decision was easy because, in a sense, I already knew him and knew of his goodness. Throughout my teenage years, I really needed God. My parents got divorced when I was 9, and the repercussions of that and the circumstances surrounding their divorce, plus step-siblings, step-parents, remarriages, and trying to find where I fit in the world as a teenager made life very challenging for me. My family is a good family, but it is very broken, and in a sense, I actually thank God for that, because ever since I've known of God, I've always ran to him when I needed him. And I established from very young that I needed God and that I couldn't survive without him. Through my difficult upbringing, I learned to rely on God, trust him, and remain faithful to him throughout the challenging seasons in my life. And the thing that God has really taught me is that God can only outwork his true faithfulness when we are faithful to him. God is a truly faithful God in so many ways. He never leaves us or abandons us in our difficult times. And in every season, he is faithful. But the evidence of his faithfulness in our lives can only be truly revealed if we stick it out with him. And instead of running from him when life gets hard, we need to run to him, trust him, and in the end, his faithfulness is revealed. We don't always know what God is teaching us and doing in us in the challenging seasons in our life. And the reason why something is happening in our life may not be revealed for days, months, in my life, years, or ever. But he is faithfulness, and I'm just going to share some examples of how God has been faithful in my life. God has performed a good work in me, healing my heart, challenging me to forgive the people in my life who have made decisions that have hurt me. It took me years in particular to truly forgive my dad, but God slowly chipped away at everything broken in my heart, restoring me, encouraging me, and challenging me to forgive. I'm so thankful for this because my dad is actually amazing, and I am so grateful for the relationship that we have. The richness of relationship that I have with my dad is only because of what God has done in my life, and the challenging season of forgiveness has reaped a greater blessing than I could ever imagine, because in the end, God knows what he's doing. A couple of years ago, my younger cousin's parents got separated. I took her out for coffee, and she just got in the car and just bawled her eyes out. And she's actually a lot like me. She doesn't like to show people like her pain and what's on the inside. And so it was a really special moment for her to be able to be so vulnerable with me. And the only reason why she was able to do that was because I was honest and open with her about my story and what I'd been through with my family. I felt so equipped to speak into her life and to speak from a point of experience about the rich blessings that come from trying each and every day to forgive the people that have hurt you. I dropped her home after I'd taken her out for coffee, and I just cried the whole way home, and I just praised God, and I said to God, and I still say to him, if this is the only reason why I went through everything that I went through, just so that I can help her on that day, then it was all worth it. You see, the good things that God brings out of the bad seasons in our life are not always what we expect. But when we lean into him, trust him, and remain faithful to him, we grow. And in Romans, we are encouraged to rejoice in our sufferings. Romans 5:3-5. More than that, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. If we can learn to lean into God in our bad seasons in our life instead of running and thinking that we know a better way and that we can sort it out ourselves, if we can trust him and ask him, God, I can't change this, but I give you permission to teach me and change me and my character in this situation, we are the ones who are actually blessed. In June last year, I injured my lower back. Just out of nowhere, I just had this debilitating injury, and I went from being a healthy and fit person to being unable to lift more than 2 kilos. I couldn't carry my bag around uni. I couldn't clean my room. I couldn't pick up a small child. I couldn't do anything, and I became extremely dependent on the people around me, which was very hard. I had chronic pain and was taking pain medications pretty much all the time. And it's really been a very terrifying and emotional roller coaster for me. I'm studying nursing. I'm in my final year and I need my back. And I know that God wants me to be a nurse. And it kind of felt like I hadn't even begun my career, but it was over. And it all sounds very negative, but that was reality. Like, that was what I was feeling. Trusting God and that he knows what he is doing was easy in a sense because I'd done it before. And God is my healer, and I don't say that lightly. I got an MRI on my back a couple of months ago, and when I was getting it done, I just had complete peace that it was all okay and that God had it sorted. And I went back to my physio a couple of days later, and she's like, "So, I don't know what's happened, but there's no sign of a disc injury there." And I still don't even know what happened. Like, it's just amazing. Like, I still have a few niggling issues with my hip, and I just give that to God every day. But it's just so amazing how much my back and my body has improved, and how God has restored my body. And he's taught me so much through this experience. And all the more that I ran to him, I couldn't change it, so I just asked God to change me. And he did. Even though what I've gone through with my back has been challenging, the benefits from it all and what I've learnt about myself and God has been amazing. So I'm not saying I'm amazing for being faithful to God, not at all. I'm saying that I'm saying when we go through challenging situations and seasons, we have two choices. We either run from God or we run to God. And in Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." And God has our best interests at heart, always. But we will never know the incredible plans and purposes of God unless we remain faithful to him. I stick it out and stick with him when the going gets hard. I look at my life right now and I know that I could have been a completely different girl on a completely different path. And the only reason why I am the way I am now is because I wanted God and I needed God and I chose God. And God deserves our faithfulness because he is faithful. And I'll just tell you one last little story. Where I'm living at the moment at home, it has its ups and downs, and it's actually a very unstable environment, as in I never know what it's going to be like, whether it's going to be okay or be a bad day. And I always thought that God wanted me to remain in that situation as a light, and because he was teaching me things until we got married. And he has done both those things, but a couple of, sorry, just chuck that in there. A couple of months ago, I was really struggling, had a really hard night at home, and I just went to bed and I went to my room and I just was crying out to God and I was just like, God, can you sort this out? Because I don't really know what to do. I don't know where to go. You know, I'll stay here if you want me to, but can you just sort it out? The next day I went to work. I work for my dad, sitting at my desk, and he goes, "Hey, Sal, come into my office for a second." And I went in there, and he was like, "I bought a house in Croydon. Do you want to come live with me?" Like, the next day. It's like, people don't just buy houses. Like, they don't just, it's not like a snap decision, but it was amazing. So I don't know if that doesn't show you that God's faithful and that he's got our best interests at heart. I don't know. Anyway, God is amazing. He is so faithful. If we just love him and put him first, he looks after us. And because he is faithful and he does have a plan and a purpose for our lives and he does want to prosper us. But he can only do that to his full capacity if we are faithful to him. So, yeah, thank you.